And he felt like that he was being pushed to be successful like other people, that kind of stuff. So I had an opportunity to talk with him. And, man, we talked for a good little while. We paused. We met up again, and we talked for another good little while. And I see it did some good. I believe it did, because he got a little touched in his heart. Eyes got watery, and he was grateful. So I'm going to try to talk about a little bit success, God's success and man's success. Might be a little different, right? I wish I had one of them clip-on mics so I can get out of here and walk a little bit, because I wanted to do this like the Sunday school. And I want to thank God for my sister, Selena. I love you with the love of the Lord. You keeps me on my toes. You hold me accountable. And I was telling her, Tawana, she remind me of you. Because, man, she have some questions, boy. And don't stop asking questions. You know, you doing excellent. Hey, you ask a question that I don't know. I thank God for Pastor being here, but I slide right on over to her husband. What you think, Pastor? I'm passing the buck. What you think? You know, you can help us all out. But I thank God for you, Sister Selena. I really do. And it's a pleasure to stand before God's people. And I love doing Sunday school. It keeps me accountable. I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, there is nothing that gets in my way when it comes to doing what I'm supposed to do for God. Because last week we planned a fishing trip, and I was going to take Kobe fishing. And I found out I was going to be up here, and I'm like, oh, man. I said, well, that changed all the dynamics of everything. So I said, Daddy, take you next Saturday. You know, I'll take you next Saturday. I couldn't go this Sunday because I had to get something for God's people. And I thank God for Kobe. I do. You know, he don't kick and, you know, like, man, he don't keep his word. But I'm like, Daddy, have to do this for God first. You know, I hope you understand. He said, I understand, Dad, I understand. So maybe he'll be doing that too one day. So I want to talk a little bit about God's success and man's success. I'm going to do a little reading. Genesis 14 and Genesis 15. 14. Try not to keep you long, because I ain't going to be up here long, Pastor. 14. Oh, Lord. 17, that's the 14, 17. And then we'll read Genesis 15 and 1. Are you all there? Praise the Lord. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. He's talking about these kings that came out to meet Abraham after Abraham went up against a confederate of people to rescue Lot. That's what he's talking about, just to bring you up to date. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread, wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek of all that he had, all that he came in possession of. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. That's a whole nother sermon, ain't past. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. That I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latch, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Anna, Ishmael, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Abraham saying, here it is. Melchizedek wanted to give Abraham some goods and all of this stuff. And Abraham was so wise, saying, no, I don't want nothing from you. He said, I won't even take a shoe thread from you, a shoelace from you. You know, because if I do take something from you, you'd be saying that you've done all what you've done for me. You've made me rich. You know, if it wasn't for me, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I've heard this before. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have this, that, as my son say, and the third. You won't, if it wasn't for me, you know, people out there, they are waiting for you to receive stuff from them, because they may not say it to you right away. They go tell somebody else. If it wasn't for me, see, they wouldn't be as prosperous as they are. You know, I did that. You know, so Abraham said, no, I don't need that. You know, I don't need nothing from you. And he was polite about it. Let's go to Genesis 15. And he says, 15 and 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. He said, after these things, the writer says, after that, the four kings have taken Lot, after Abraham goes and rescue Lot, after Melchizedek tries to bless Abraham with things and Abraham refuses, and Abraham wouldn't take anything from him. He said, after these things, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. You know, young people, just remember that you don't love stuff so much. You know, I know sometimes you feel like you're in a need, but don't love anything too much to where people can come to you and just give you stuff. There's always a reason behind that too. There's always a reason. A lot of times, well, Lord, bless me. Be careful when people giving you stuff. Little boys, little girls, where that boy at? He always disappearing. Chase, could you do me a favor? Go and get him. Yeah, please.
Sorry, Derek.
But you be careful about what you receive from people. And that goes from us, too. You know, I'm talking to young people. I'm trying to talk to them this morning. But you be careful also what you receive from folk. And he said, after those things, God gives him a word. He says, I'll be thy exceedingly great reward. Why would God tell him that after all of these things? I question. I said, Lord, why would you tell him that now after these things? Because Abram didn't take nothing from him. You know, he may have needed some stuff, like we need some stuff. But God saw what Abram was doing. He said, now, since you didn't take any of their stuff, it's so easy to take things nowadays. People give you a bag of licorice. You know, people give you, they come and give you anything. And it's rarely you see somebody say, no, I'm good. You know, I might need it, but I really don't need it right now. I don't need that right now. So after God saw that Abraham turned this thing down, he turned it down for a reason. He said, since, I believe God was saying, since you didn't receive any of that stuff, touch not the unclean things. I don't, you know, you don't need nothing from nobody. You know, he said, I'll be thy exceedingly great reward. God is telling us, young people especially, that you don't have to want so much of anything where God won't give it to you himself. He said he will be your exceedingly great reward and exceedingly greater than anybody else. You know, God said he will go beyond the limits of man to do what he needs to do for you. You know, so let God be your exceedingly, abundantly, all you can ask or think. Let him be the God for you. Don't think that you have to receive stuff, especially from strangers, you know, people outside your family. You know, and you have to get to be careful with people in your family too. He said, exceedingly is greater than to go beyond the limits. God can go beyond the limit of man. You know, God can do what man can't do for us. You know, and God wants to prove himself that he will do those things for us. But we get sometimes so anxious and in a hurry to where we just can't wait for God. We want it now. Right now, it's right there at my grasp. But God wants you to wait for him and make sure that you know that it's coming from him. He said, exceedingly great, powerful, dominant. God is great. He's powerful. He's more dominant than man. Man is his creation. God made man. So man ain't going to be greater than God. So what is it that man can do that God can't do for you? What's out there that's got you stressed, young people, that's got you under this, what we call peer pressure, to where you can't wait for God to do this thing for you? There's peer pressure out there, but don't let it be so hard to where it press you out of measure. Make you say things that you are not to say. Make you do things that you know you shouldn't be doing. Don't let that be that type of pressure for you where it press you out of what you're supposed to be standing for. Mom and daddy didn't raise you that way. You don't see mama doing that. You don't see daddy doing that. So it's pressure out there, young people, but it ain't that type of pressure. You can say no. You can say, no, that ain't right. And you know it ain't right. Don't stay there too long either talking to the devil, because he going to reel you in. The longer you stay there, the more he's saying, I got him. When you ain't taking no steps back, or when you ain't doing this, bye, Felicia. when you ain't saying, okay, I'll talk to you later, the longer you stay there, that devil, he's putting a hook in your jaw. He know he's reeling you in there. And for long, you're going to be saying, okay, all right, let's go. Well, I tried. God is your exceedingly great reward. And a reward is a thing given in recognition of one's service, efforts, or achievement. So God wants to reward you himself for your service, your worship, your service, your being obedient to your parents, being obedient to your teacher, because when you're at school, that teacher is your parent. That's what I taught my children. Don't be up there debating and arguing and fussing going on with these teachers. They may be wrong sometimes, but you come home and tell mama, tell daddy about it. Mom and daddy stand up for you. They go up there and talk to the teacher. Don't you go up there trying to be the adult. Okay? And God wants to give you a reward for every effort that you put into. We're not perfect. We know you're not perfect. We're not perfect. But at least give an effort. Try. Nothing beats a failure but a try. And your achievements, set some goals. Set some goals for yourself. And don't say, well, it's too hard. I can't handle it. You know, don't cop out. Don't give up. God said you're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Do y'all believe that? That you can do what you want, what you can't, what you want to do, what you need to do through Christ that strengthens you? He said he will be your exceedingly great reward. And this is why Paul was telling the Ephesians. And I'm going to tell you and tell the congregation and those that listen. Paul says, now unto him who was able to do exceedingly What is exceedingly greater than, beyond any limits down here? God can do it abundantly above all that we ask. God even knows what's on your heart that you want right now, that you know that you can't have right now. Some of the young boys are looking at cars. My man, when I get old, I'm going to get me one of them cars. God sees that in your heart, that you want a particular car and all these other particulars that you want. Even the young ladies, you know, they so. What'd you say, Pat? God sees what's in your heart too, but on a lot of things, now is not the time. Did I?
I love you, Pastor.
Now is not the time for those things, and young men too. You know, so Paul said, "Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You got something down and said, not just mama and daddy. Y'all sitting in this church. I hear the preachers preaching. You sit in Sunday schools. You're learning some things. You got power in you too. You got power to say nope. You got power to say get away, devil. God has given you the power to succeed. And you can't succeed by saying yes to everything. No is a good word. It is. No is a word that we don't use enough. Everything is yes, 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 okay, maybe. Sometimes no can save your life. When I was going to be a correctional officer, I went up to Jeff City and stayed for a month, trained with the state troopers. And all they put in us is no, 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 no. 30 days, we did not go without hearing no. And I'm thinking, what was the big deal? You know, because I found out when I got in this institution with 260-something men, and it's just two of us, man, I said, I see why they want to say no. Because them guys would come with all kind of questions, all kind of things to try to throw you off. And I didn't know the rule book. You know, we got to know the rule book, the Bible. I didn't know that rule book really good. So they give it to us a little bit in the pocket. And I used to have to funnel through there, and the guys standing there like, man, give me somebody with some experience. And that's what people going to do to you. They're going to try to press you. And I just say, well, if you can't wait where I can give you an answer, then no. Even when I was wrong, because I didn't know. If you say yes all the time, and when you say yes, you go into that yes, it's too late. You can't turn around and say, I should have said no. If you say no, now I found out, well, he was right. He can go do something. I said, oh, yes, you can go and do it. So no is a good word. No is a powerful word. Use no. When we was coming up, drugs were so prevalent, crack was so prevalent, they tried to do their best to try to help the young people. I don't know if y'all know anything about boxes of Lemonheads, Longfellas, and Boston Baked Beans. Brian, you don't know nothing about that either? When you open them up, they put on there, just say no. They did. And that's why you get that, just say no. You know, just no. No is a powerful word. But Paul wants us to know that God can do exceedingly greater than, God go beyond the limits of what you can even think, abundantly above all we can ask or even think, he says. Now, man's definition of success, that's what I wonder. What is, can I do this like a Sunday school? What is man's definition of success to you all? Come on, Jason. That's what I'm talking about, participation. Live under what? A roof? No. Man, that's good. Anybody else? What is the definition you think is man's success? What do you think man would say success is?
Money.
Yeah. What about you, Kobe? Huh? That's good. See, that's good. All of them good. Anybody else? Mother, pastor, anybody else? School teacher? Come on, sit up, speak. Right. What would you had another one? Huh? Ain't no wrong answers. They all good. And I say to me, they all right. Man's definition of success to me is a successful man is one who finds his purpose and creates a life where he can fulfill that purpose. Man's success, he finds his purpose and creates a life. He makes a life for himself to be successful. It's almost like with Brittany, what you were saying about money, you know. I'm going to create a life, but go ahead. You got a question, baby. What'd you say? What is that? That's exactly. Yep. That's all man's definition of success. He creates a life for himself. He may go to school like Brittany did. She went to school. I created this life. I got to go to school to be a teacher. That's my goal right now. You know, and so he creates a life where he can find that purpose. He knows or seeks to find the balance between the fueling and the purpose, and he's sacrificing himself and others to make it happen. So, man, all of that was good. But what I'm seeing out of that, man do anything he have to do to get what he want. What really stuck out to me was he sacrificed himself. People lay their life down. You know, hey, I got to get this. You laid your life down for school. It paid off. But some people out there, man, success, they lay their life down and they step on the ones too to try to get there. They don't care about stepping on you to get to where they're trying to get to. They'll step all over you, your friends, your so-called friends in my household. I train my children to use associates, because it's hard to find a true friend. A friend ain't gonna let you go where you ain't supposed to go. A friend ain't gonna let you do some things that he see that you trying, you know, somebody that's trying to coerce you or make you or lead you to do. A friend gonna see you and say, hey man, you should. That's what my friend did. Fred, now you know. And it's still up to you to make that decision. But some folk don't care what they do to get above you. They'll use you. And they have a plan too. You got your plan and they got a plan. this joker here's so silly, he's so gullible, we can use him in what we finna do later on. Again, when I was in a correctional officer, I was coming in to work, working midnights, and God had given me favor with the inmates, staff. God just gave me favor, it's like everywhere I went. And so this one guy walked past me, he was mopping, and he said, real low, these don't do programs. And I said, what? He kept going. He was like, he had to hurry up and get out of the way. You know, and I'm like, what do you mean don't do programs? What? How come he didn't stop and warn? I'm what they call a police in the jail. He can't be seen talking to the police. Automatically you become a snitch. He told him something. And so I started thinking, I'm like, don't do program. Don't do program. And so me and this guy named Govero, we go to the gym. We start shooting basketball. I didn't do programs as a chick where you have to go up to this big building. It's like a complex. You had to walk from that door with the lights off, come over here, sign a book, so they know you've been and did your program. So that night, I didn't care what they said. I didn't do no program. Later on, it was three guys found that night up in the kitchen hiding. Matter of fact, they didn't find them. Two of them had a plan. The third person wasn't even in the plan that they had. He was part of the plan, but he didn't know what part he was playing. They put him on top of the razor wire and clammed over him and got out. People don't care what they do. They don't care how cool y'all think y'all are, how pretty you are, you know, how elegant you speak, you know, and you know, you may come in ill. You know, you're pretty. But people don't care when they got a plan. That's their success. They'll do anything to be successful. People out here are selling their souls literally to the devil to be successful. Some people just don't know how to function without that type of success. You know? They committing suicide. Boy, girl won't, don't like me no more. She won't talk to me no more. You're too young to have boyfriends and girlfriends. You know, I had to tell my son, look, your girlfriend is the books. You know, that's your relationship. You know, check her out, you know. See what math is talking about, science. You know, you date them books. You know, you ain't got time to be talking about claiming somebody, this is my girlfriend. You getting fighting over something that somebody don't belong to you. You 15 and 12 years old. You ain't got no business even thinking like that. That stuff ain't supposed to come to your mind. You have plenty of time for that. And then when you get grown, you gonna say, oh, I don't even know if I want to do that. When you get grown, you be like, oh, I don't even know if I want to go that way. She fine, but man, he look good, but my God. Mama, what you think about this joker? He do this, that, and the other. Well, I ain't got to tell you about it. He doing this, that, and the other. Would you want that in a man? Would you want that in a girl? You know, I tell my sons, look, listen here. Wherever you pick that woman up, if you picked up in the club, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have a club woman. You pick up on the street, you're going to have a street woman. That's what you're going to have. Same with the guy. You clubbing? Oh, yeah. Hey, you're going to get what you asked for. You went fishing in the club, you got you a barracuda. You know? You know, get you, you know, you, they got some goldfish in there too. They look pretty, but they ain't no good either. You know, you wait. You wait for God. Let God be your exceedingly, your great reward. And God does reward you when you do what's right. You know, obey your parents, for this is right. You know, live right. Get them books together. Then you off to college. Then for you know it, those so-called friends that didn't do nothing tried to get you to stay out of class, tried to get you to go and do pot, It's legal now, y'all. That's what they'll tell you. It's legal. We won't get in trouble. Yes, you will. You get in trouble. Stay away from those folk. Let God be your exceedingly, your great reward. Man's definition is, of success is, he finds a purpose and creates a life. That's what man does. He finds his purpose. You know, God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." God said, "I have a plan for you." God has already put something together for you. He has created a life for you. You don't have to create no life for yourself. God already created a life for you. You just got to walk into that life that God has already created. Don't be in the hurry to get to where you ain't supposed to be right now. You know, you hurry up on the drive. Young babies, 8 years old, 9 years old, they getting caught stealing cars, driving good, running from the police. I mean, high speed chases, 8, you know. So God already put something together for us. But we just got to know that God's definition of success is he measures our success and with his measuring stick of obedience, faithfulness, and righteousness. God has created a life also for us. If you are faithfully doing the work of God, you are successful in his eyes. If God sees you being obedient, nobody's perfect. We're not trying to make you perfect because we ain't perfect. If God sees that you are obedient, you're successful. Obedient to him, to his word. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "To obey is better than to sacrifice." So if you obey and you ain't got to worry about these sacrifices, these things that's going to come later on, they're going to be sacrifices. You know, try to get somebody some employment with the water company, and they got something on their record. Years ago, as a child, see, stuff will follow you for the rest of your life. That's society for you. There is no forgiveness. They say they do, but ain't no forgiveness out there. Only God will forgive you. And you rarely find somebody that's going to forgive, but society is rough on you. And so, did good on the test and everything, but his past cost him the job right now. So obedience, hey, if you're having a problem being obedient to your mom and your daddy, to the pastor, us, I'm talking to us when I say pastor, us being disobedient to pastor, we got to ask somebody and ask them, pray for us, help me. Because when you don't obey, you're going to fall into some mischief. And it's easy as mischief come. It's so easy to get in trouble, young people. So easy. So easy, but as hard as I don't know what to get out of it. I mean, you got to have money and you got to have favor, but don't go off into that stuff thinking that your mama got the money, got the money put up, they got favor with judge so-and-so down there and the prosecutor, I know prosecutor so-and-so. It ain't going to work. It's hard to get out of trouble. So God's success is obedience and faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Anybody want to take a stab at that? What is faithfulness? God, his definition of success is obedience, faithfulness, and right. We're talking about faithfulness. Anybody want to take a stab at faithfulness? Nobody? Kobe, L, Jay, what is faithfulness to you? Huh? Yeah, that's what Brother June said. Believing in God, a faithful man, Proverbs 28 and 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. If you've been faithful. God got your blessings for you. But a lot of blessings, again, like I said, that you guys are looking for, just, it ain't for you right now. A faithful man should abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So don't be in a hurry to be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for nothing. You know, let it come to you. God gonna bring it to you. You know, live. And righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteous. Huh? A clean living. Thank you, Jack. Anybody else? Miss Dees, I ain't heard from you. Come on. Because you're going to come home, you're going to go home and you're going to let me have it. Well, you should have said. What you say, Pastor? That's all. Miss Dees, I ain't heard nothing from you tonight, today. Righteousness. Living right, Jackie said. Cast thy burden upon Psalms 55:22. Cast thy burden. Your problems that you say you got, your peer pressures, these issues that you say you got, cast them up on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall keep you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God ain't going to let nothing move you out of your place. If you trust in him and live a right life. God is faithful to his word. Just like mom and daddy faithful. They say they're going to do something for you. They're going to do it for you. See, Stephanie out there after church teaching her baby how to drive. You know, was there a day that you thought that you asked mama, mama, you going to teach me today? And mama said, no, mama. Mama teaching you how to drive, ain't she? You know? So righteousness. So God has a life that's already set for us. He's got a life that's already planned for you. That's good to have goals. Well, Al ain't telling you not to have no goals. You got to have some goals. You got to have goals. We need good attorneys. We need good judges. We need righteous judges, righteous attorneys. You know, we need all the righteous officers, righteous mayors, you know, lawyers. In all of these places, we need righteous people. We don't need another Michael Jordan. We don't need another LeBron James. We don't need another Steph. We don't need, what's them females? Come on, some females out there. I don't know, keep up to me. Yeah. Serena Williams, we don't need no more of them folk. You know, we got trouble in the land. And don't you all know that you're growing up in this trouble? But you all can be the cause for the change if you live righteous, if you obey, if you be faithful to what God says. You know, a young man, I don't know him, but I don't know if you heard. Young people are really rising up. They are really doing some great things out there in the community. They really are. I mean, we hear more bad news then we hear the good news. But there's some good news. I found out, my son showed me that a 23-year-old young man got a $30 million contract in Florissant, Missouri. Yeah. Doing what, Brother Al? I know y'all said, look, Brandon. What he doing? He found out how to be in Florida, in some parts, this is one part, he's taking over the trash department. You know, they ain't got the call. Waste management. He said, I'm going to store me one myself. 23 years old, $30 million contract. Signed and delivered to him. Handshake and all. So that can be one of you all. It's other great ideas out there. And you all have great minds. God has given you a mind, a good mind. Don't waste it. So Moses said, when he stood at the gate, he said, now who is on the Lord's side? You got to be on God's side for all of this to take place. Don't think that you're going to get that success. You might get your success, that man's success, but God's success is much greater than man's success. Remember, God said he can do what? Exceedingly abundant. Say it with me, young people. God said he can do exceedingly. Say it with me, young people. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can what? Ask or think. God can do it, but man can only do so much. You can only do so much. You only have so much power. You're just limited. God's power is unlimited. His visions and his dreams are like nobody else's. You can dream, you can lay down and sleep 24 hours, 48 hours, and you still won't come up with the dream that God can give you in a few minutes. God want to give you dreams. He said his people perishing. They are suffering because we ain't got no dreams. And only God can give you them dreams to bring to help his people. So Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Is anybody on the Lord's side? I'm on the Lord's side. You on the Lord's side? Nobody but me and Kobe on the Lord's side. I know this is different, but I had to do it this way. Who is on the Lord's side? I ain't going to let you leave out of here until you show me you're on the Lord's side. We all on the Lord's side. And God has a plan, a perfect plan for us. He has a purpose for us. Tell him back there, baby. Back there. Joshua said, look, if it seem evil, Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve God, if it's so bad for you to serve God, choose you this day who you going to serve. If it's that bad for y'all to serve this Lord, this Jesus who's been keeping you, providing for you, watching over you, leading and guide you. All right, if you don't choose him, who you going to serve? If that bad, who you going to serve? Anybody else out there you can serve that's better than Jesus? Anybody out there tough enough that you can, that you don't want to serve Jesus? Mother was saying that somebody rose up and said that we as Christians got to fight. We sure do. But our weapons are not like theirs. We walk down here in the flesh, but we don't war like we used to do in the flesh. Our weapons, they ain't the natural weapons no more. They ain't fist and cuff. Of course, ain't nobody fisting and cuffing no more. They shooting and stabbing and cutting your throat, amputating you. You know, that ain't the way we fight. But our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down every strong, everything that's bothering you, everything that's in your way. God, move it out of your way. He will. When you start talking to him, ask me, he wants to hear from the little people. You know, he wants to hear from you. God start doing things for you. Y'all be standing up testifying. Y'all take over the testimony service. Try. I guarantee try it and watch and see don't it happen. But our weapons are not the natural weapons. We're supposed to pray and seek God and ask God about this thing. Lord, you handle this thing for me. And God will handle it for you. He said, Joshua said, who's on the Lord's side? And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Only God can help you. Only God wants to help you. All these other gods, God said they are gods without ears. They are gods without mouth. They don't even hear you, nor can they speak back to you. So you're just out there talking. And here, I'm going to sit down, get this to pass. Here's how we get true success, God's success. And when God's success also, children, people, I'm not just talking about heavenly things. I'm talking about things down here too. God wants, he going to bless you down here first, because this is where you at. And you got a blessing. Paul said, I got a crown laid up for me. But down here, I got blessings too that I got to obtain. You have to obtain those blessings. That's why Paul said he pressed toward the prize of the high calling. That was a prize. Down here and up there, that's a prize. So let us, Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, of a success man, a success woman. One more scripture and I'm going to let you go. Joshua 1 and 8. He said, this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. This Bible, these readings, these teachings should not depart from you. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You should think on what you've heard. Pastor teaching you, what the preacher is saying, what you hear in testimony service. He said, meditate on those things day and night. He said that you may observe, notice, take a look at, to do it according to all that is written therein. And he says, for then, only then thou shalt make your way prosperous. And then you shall have good success, godly success. Young people, that's the only way that you can have this success that you are running after, is with God. You're not too young to hear this. You hear worse than this probably at school and on through the web, whatever y'all be on out there. Y'all probably just don't say, y'all really good at being quiet when you want to be, because I know mine. They real good at being quiet. But if you walk softly in the house, sit and just be still, you might hear a few things. You know, it might make you do what the Bible said to make God do, might make you rise up from your seat and get to that door and be like, what? You got to be kidding me. I did not know that that boy, that girl was in that kind of stuff. So, how do we obtain good success? Observing, meditating in God's word, and most of all, doing what he say do, being obedient. He said you will have good success, godly success. So if you have not chosen today who you're going to serve, if you need to come back to the Lord, young and old, out there on the website here in this congregation, choose you today who you're going to serve. If it's evil to serve the Lord God, then who else you going to serve? Ain't nobody else out there to serve that's going to protect you, that's going to be with you, that's going to stand up, lift up a standard for you. So God is asking you today, make that choice. If you not made that choice, make it today. Tomorrow is not promised. Don't say you're going to wait till you get grown. Don't say you're going to wait till you turn 16 or however old. Don't say, I'm going to make it to that other church. If you're here, do it now. I'm finished. God bless you this morning. Choose you this day. Anybody need to come back to the Lord? Anybody need to come to the Lord? No reconciliations. No renewals. No vow renewals. He's standing there. Me and my wife had our 30th year vow renewal. Some we need to make some renewed vows, you know. We do. We need to make some renewed, whether we've been praying, you know. I've been praying. I believe God. I get this all the time, Pastor. But they falling short. We all fall short somewhere. But some of us ain't been striving to get this thing right. I'm going to testify. Nobody wants to. Don't need to. I ain't going to say wanna. Don't need to. I'm going to testify. Brittany, I was laughing when you testified about what was in your heart. I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing with you, because I just told them this morning about what was in my heart. And I'll share it with you. This coworker of mine,